Welcome to Bible Study for Progressives, a show where moderates, liberals, and leftists of all faiths and ideologies come together to discuss scripture, spirituality, and politics. We engage scripture in its historical context, plumb its depths for wisdom and guidance, and apply its lessons to current events and social issues. Whether you're a liberal evangelical, a New Age spiritualist, a social justice activist, or a postmodern theologian, there's something in this show for you. Come, be energized in spirit and mind to understand the word and what it means to be a spiritual person in today's world.
My guest is Rich Procida. Thank you again so much. P-R-O-C-I-D-A. He's a constitutional lawyer, paranormal ghost investigator, Bible studies for progressives, but yet uses some tarot too and some other just tools of spirit help.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of problems with our toxic situation here. Right now we're having the impeachment trial, and we can see that the evidence is so overwhelming. I mean, talk about toxicity. This is a man who sent hundreds, thousands of people to go kill people. And we've been inflamed with this propaganda about QAnon that is a toxic idol worship. It's toxic idolatry. It's a religion that is false. And Q is a false prophet. He's a prophet that said something was going to happen that didn't happen. And the Bible tells us how we know what the difference between a real true prophet and a false prophet. And the difference, at least one, I mean, there are probably many of ways, but one of the ways is that what they prophesy, whether it comes to pass or not. And once we know that Q's predictions have not come through, or the propaganda has not come to pass, or all these self-proclaimed prophets out there proclaiming Donald Trump was going to win the next election, we know that they're false prophets. And when we know that they're false prophets, that tells us they're not just people who were wrong. They're people who are religiously or spiritually involved in something that is evil. Maybe not evil, maybe, because oftentimes the ancient world, you had prophets and diviners who would come to the king and advise the king about future events. And oftentimes it would devolve into just telling the king what he wanted to hear. And so these were the false prophets, just telling people what they want to hear. And we know that a real prophets are not necessarily popular people. They're people who are confronting the power structures and those in power. So, and they are often not only unpopular, but can be put to death for speaking truth to power. And that's really what prophecy is. It's speaking truth to power. And false prophets are speaking lies to the people. That's what false prophets are. And so there's something sinister behind all of this. And it's really coming from our collective evil, like we talked about last time. But it's being fed by false and defamatory information purposely. And that's important to recognize, that there's an agenda behind this. And it may not be the agenda of the United States. When we put ourselves and are not critical about what we think and believe and just believe things without analyzing the other side, without looking at all the evidence, just because we choose to believe those things. We are putting ourselves and our entire nation in the hands of unscrupulous actors and perhaps even foreign agents who want to manipulate us. So this is what we've seen. We've seen Trump with his connections and his approval of dictators around the world wanting to be one of those. And it's important to recognize that had he won the election, or had he prevailed in any of his multiple attempts to overturn the results of the election, we would be like Russia or China or North Korea, a dictator, but no more democracy. He would have been able to do what we talked about before, which was a breakthrough, an autocratic breakthrough in which there's no turning back. Well, yes, and speaking about our soul gifts, and I talked about this last time, one of my gifts is the gift of prophecy. And the difference between some of the prophets who predicted Trump or Q or some of the, is that when I do a prophecy, it comes to pass, and we talked about it. I predicted the coup by force and violence, and you can listen to that. I did that in November. That's on my show, Will Trump Concede and Leave, a tarot reading. And well, actually, the cards predicted it. I added a few details. But it came to pass. And that's why perhaps if you're listening to somebody and what they tell you doesn't come to pass, like all these end-of-the-world cults that are out there, all of a sudden, it doesn't come to pass, and yet all the cult members come out and sort of rationalize that it didn't come to pass. It's very hard for people to change once they get into a false belief system, and that's the dangers of cults, and that's the danger of false prophecies. And so I'm doing a show coming up on the 27th. It's going to be live on Facebook, and I'm going to also put it out on my podcast, Bible Study for Progressives. I'm going to be interviewing Bill Blum, who is a journalist, and we're going to be talking about what happened on the 6th and what we can do about it. And I have a number of things that we can do short of amending the Constitution, which takes a long time because we need to act quickly. And we need to have this become part of the progressive agenda. For too long, progressives have said, we don't want regime change, but it's not enough to say that. You have to be able to promote democracy. You can't just say we don't want regime change.
Unity.
And
yep.
Yeah.
Unity. Yes. And they're talking about the H.R. 1 bill with our youth. It is just phenomenal. Can you talk about that and how people could, you know, get more involved?
Yeah, I don't have the exact, it's called the For the People Act. And it's supposed to expand voting rights, change campaign finance laws, reduce the influence of money in politics, limited partisan gerrymandering, create ethics rules for federal office holders. I think it's a good start. And I think there are a number of things that still have to be done. I think, and that's what my show's going to be about, but I'll tell you a few of them. One is we need to get the pardons reversed. There's a Section 2, Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution grants the president the pardon power except in cases of impeachment. So I think there's a pretty good argument that those people who benefited from a pardon or who participated in the things for which the president was impeached should not get the benefit of a pardon for that conduct. So I think that's one of the first things. We also are going to need to arrest Trump. We can't have a system of justice, three systems of justice, one at the top where our leaders get to commit crimes with impunity. And all those people who attacked the Capitol, they came there because Trump asked them to, Trump told them to, Trump incited to. There was all a plan from the very beginning. Those people, they're going to jail. Yeah, so I wanted to clarify about the Jeffrey Epstein thing, because there are some myths out there and some falsehoods being spread by those who are manipulating us. It's important to recognize that the pedophilia and all this stuff, that was not a partisan thing. It's a power thing. This has gone on since the beginning of time. We remember Herod was the king of Israel, appointed by the Roman emperor at the time. And because his daughter danced in front of him in a sensual way, he promised her anything she asked for. And her mother said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. So because he had made this promise and he felt he couldn't reject her, so he went ahead and ordered it. So this type of, if you have power, if you have the ability to get away with whatever you wanted to get away with, what would you do? What would you do if you were Jeffrey Epstein and you had all the money in the world and you had a private island? Would you dedicate your life to a better world, or would you dedicate it to your own personal satisfactions and sense your own desires? And if you could not be constrained by external constraints, and this is something Augustine brought up, Augustine actually, who was a father of the church in the 4th century, that we need external controls. We need something to stop us from doing, or not everybody, and most of us, probably we have part of ourselves that there might be some evil within us, the individual, or some faults, or something that we can, like, you know, for some people it's money. Money becomes something that they're willing to do things for that are not moral or ethical. Sex can be another one of those things where a person desires control what they do and not their head. So when God created the world, right, according to the story in Genesis, actually the second creation narrative, not only did he create people in God's image, which is basically to say that he created people to rule themselves, because the Yahwehist, the J source, who wrote much of the creation, the second creation story, which is Adam and Eve, and then Cain and Abel, wrote during the time at the end of the Babylonian exile. It's about nation building. They're trying to build a nation. And one of the instructions that God gave, the first test that humanity utterly failed, was not to kill, not to use war or violence or torture or killing as a tool of governance, as a tool to control people. Now, of course, it's hard to do that when somebody's attacking you, but that has to assume that violence already exists. And there's a cycle of violence, and this may be part of the thing, the curses. We are cursed by this cycle of violence that began, at least mythically, with the story of Cain and Abel. And so the message there was, don't kill, rule. We have to rule ourselves if we are to rule, be rulers, as God is a ruler. God says to love our enemies, because God lets rain fall on the just and the unjust. And that means to provide for their needs and to not resort to violence. Even if God rejects you, even if God rejects your sacrifice, don't resort to violence. And in some ways, there's this idea, and in 1 John and in other writings, that Cain was possessed by a demon. And so that we have in us something that can lead us in the wrong direction if we allow it to. And God said to Cain, sin is crouching at your door. If you do right, won't you do good? But if you don't do what's right, if you don't do good, then sin is crouching at your door. You have to resist it. You have to learn to control your own behavior if you want to be a just ruler.
That's the biggest problem on the planet. The programs have been to divide, conquer, separate, and control. You know, the masses by a few. The kingdom, you know.
Okay, great. So one of the things is that we have a spiritual hunger. Tarot reading said spiritual poverty. The church has failed. If we wouldn't have all these people turning to idolatry, if the church and religion had provided a spiritual foundation and that really lifted people up and gave them hope and meaning in their life. It's the lack of meaning, the lack of hope, the lack of a spiritual foundation that has led to people accepting falsehood and lies. At one time throughout most of history, actually, the church was part of the state, or at least vied for power with the state. But now that we separated the church, they still do, but now that we've separated church and state in the Western world, the result has been that we have turned everything to politics so that we worship our leaders. So it's the same process. I mean, the church and religion were just politics in the ancient world. It didn't change the nature of politics and how we, our leaders, and how we react, how human beings treat their leaders. So what happened is we turned the state and turned our leaders into religious leaders and spiritual leaders. And so when we find here, we have people worshiping, not God, but Trump. They're going to say, we're supporting Trump, 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 Trump. What I meant was that I think healthcare, the environment, and systemic injustice and many other things are so vitally important, and we have to do them. They're not in conflict with fighting for democracy. We have to do that too. So we're going to have to do all of these things, and we don't want to get into some conflict where somebody say, well, we got to do this and we don't have time to do that. No, we have to do it. And because the main thing that's blocking us is our political system. And I just wanted to add that it's not necessarily, we tend to think it's all money and material things, but this is also a spiritual crisis. The problem is spiritual death and spiritual poverty. So I just wanted to say before we end, my name's Rich Procida. Bible Study for Progressives is the podcast I produce. I write on religion and politics for laprogressive.com. I have a blog, modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. We're doing something on the 27th. It's going to be live on Facebook. You can participate. It's going to be about what we need to do. What are the next steps in protecting democracy after the insurrection? Thank you for having me on your show.
And Rich Procida.
This has been Bible Study for Progressives. If you enjoyed the program, please subscribe to our podcast, or put us in your favorites and write a 5-star review. Tell your friends about us and share us on social media. Follow us on Facebook and click the donate button at modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. Your support will help us reach more people, produce more and better shows, and cover the cost of production. Feel free to send me a note or comment on the show. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Rich Procida. Thank you for listening.